Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did they move out of one haunted house and just move into another haunted house?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story and you would like to share it with us, we would like to hear it. Call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes and access to the archive, you can become a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. You could try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Harper is with me today. And it's a Saturday. Hello. We don't normally record on Saturdays, but where I live in the middle of Kansas, we are setting records for heat today.
Oh, fun.
I know. Here's the most exciting part about that. It is 108.
Oh, dear
right
God.
Now.
That'd be horrible.
I know. It's 100. Oh, excuse me. It's 109. What was I thinking?
Oh, it's not 108. It's worse.
It is 109. It is just miserable outside today.
I can only imagine.
Are you guys?
You could like fry an egg.
You know, if I wanted to mess up my car, and I don't because I just took it through the car wash yesterday, but I bet I could fry an egg on my car because it's sitting in my driveway.
You could also probably bake cookies in your car.
I probably could if I really wanted to be that. You know, I don't know that I have that in me today, but I love that it's something I could do.
Yeah, if you just want it. I mean, like, it's hot enough.
It's like, it's 109. It's time to bake cookies in my car.
Yeah.
Well, you ready for a story?
Yes, I am.
Here we go. So this one says, I love your show. Thank you for that. I have many stories to tell. Paranormal things have been happening to me and my family for many years. So for now, I'll start from the beginning. It all started in the early 80s for me. I was approximately 5 to 6 years old. Before I go on, I must tell you that much of this was told to me much later as I was very young at the time, but I do remember my own feelings like it was yesterday. My family consisted of the five of us, my mom, dad, my sister, the oldest of us kids, my brother, and then myself. We lived in a duplex in an older, rougher part of the city. My mom was a stay-at-home mom then, which I loved. She was also a bit of a clean freak, so much that she would wash the floors 2 to 3 times a day. Whoa! Now, one day, she was cleaning the windows, and in the reflection of the window, she could see a man behind her. But when she looked, nothing was there. That's creepy. Another time, she was walking through the kitchen and walked into something solid. My mom actually said, "Oh, excuse me," and then realized nothing was there. She told my dad about it, but he didn't believe in ghosts then. He just shrugged it off. Things happened more regularly. Cupboard doors would open and close. Things would disappear and reappear somewhere else. I myself, like a lot of kids, hated the basement. I would be fine down there if I was with someone, but I never wanted to be alone. I remember the feeling of my hair standing up on the back of my neck and the feeling of us having to run as fast as I could up the stairs. One day in the summer, we went on a family vacation. A good friend of my parents named Ralph was watching the house and watering the plants while we were gone. He was also a medium. My mom never told this friend about what was happening in the house because she didn't want to sound too crazy. Because at that time, too, my parents didn't know about his sensitivity to spirits. So Ralph would come over every day or two to check on the house to make sure it was as it should be and then go home and come back the next day. The first day, nothing out of the ordinary. But the next time, he would go do his rounds, go out to his car to leave, look back at the house, and all of the lights were on. So he thought he forgot to turn them off. He'd go in to turn them all off, but sure enough, when he got to his car, the lights would be on again. That's creepy, isn't it? Like, you know, you shut them off, then you go back in, shut them all off again, go back to your car, and they're on again.
Yeah, that's actually creepy. Very creepy.
That's really creepy. Other times, he would enter the house and find Ooh, this is creepy. Other times he would enter the house and find all of the dining room chairs upside down and the plants moved around the room. He would quickly fix it.
That's very creepy.
That's really creepy. That's like something right out of The Exorcist, right?
Yeah, or... I'm sorry, I can't think of any other haunted movies. But
Amityville,
you know,
horror, any of those, yeah.
Oh, I was going to say Amityville, I just couldn't think of the name.
I got your back. Let's see, so he would fix it, quickly check the house and leave. The next day, they would be all turned over again or stacked on top of each other. When we all returned, he had obviously a lot to talk to my parents about. So he told them about what happened and his abilities and told them that there was a man's spirit there that was connected to my mom. Apparently, he was a slave owner in the past. Oh, apparently he was a slave owner in a past life of hers in which she was his slave. He was very fond of her and had come to protect her and look out for her and obviously have a little fun while he was doing so. So now my dad was turning into a believer and even gave the ghost a name, Fred. My dad had one of those big wooden stereos with a record player on one side and AM/FM radio on the other. It had a heavy wooden lid on the top and a tiny switch you would have to flick on to turn it on in the middle. Whenever my mom's favorite song came on the radio would turn on, no matter what time, day or night, and it was just that one song. Fred also helped around the house. My dad told me that some nights they would be in bed and my dad would call out to Fred and ask him to turn off the dryer or something else they forgot. Sure enough, as long as it would take someone to walk down the stairs to the laundry room in the basement, it would shut off. Fred just became another member of the family to my parents. I find this so strange. The neighborhood was getting rougher and more dangerous, so my parents bought a house in a safer neighborhood. They were in the process with a bank, waiting to sign papers and get the keys. The house was vacant for a while, so it had no power or water hooked up. One night, they went over to do a final walkthrough before they got the keys from the realtor. And as they were about to leave, the neighbor said, "I see you're already moving in." My mom said, no, we just got the keys. The neighbor said, "Oh, you must have been overpainting then last night because all of the lights were on." My mom and dad were shocked. The power hadn't even been turned on yet. My mom answered, "The neighbor went white." My parents figure Fred was there to check things out and make sure the house was okay. That's just the beginning. I have many, many more stories to tell you, but before I go, I just have to say, as young as I was, I remember feeling the spirit energy, even though I didn't see or hear it do anything. And somehow, I knew that feeling was related to a man. And whenever I was sick in that house, I always had the same dream. I've always wondered why to this day. Anyways, thank you for your time to read this. I'm looking forward to hearing many more of your podcasts and sending you more of my experiences. All of the best, Danielle.
It's so, just good old Fred checking out the house, make sure it's not haunted besides him, you know.
You know, if anybody's going to haunt the house.
As Fred does.
I think, you know, I've said a lot of times, like, it would be almost helpful to have a ghost that would do things, and they did. Yeah. You don't hear of that very often, you know. And then it makes you wonder, so did they go from one haunted house into another haunted house? Because it doesn't
or did Fred
say.
Just follow them.
Yeah, it doesn't say anything about after the lights being on when there was no lights on. And I don't even know how that could happen. So
I don't know, but honestly, I've heard a lot of stories where it's like ghosts are connected to electrical things and turn things mm-hmm. on and off, even though they're not hooked up. Like all the stories we've heard of, like those little kid toys that are always turning on and off without any batteries. So I could see it being that, and Fred just wanted the lights on to check out the house.
Wanted the lights on to let people know he was there. It's
or to
just,
check out the house.
It's kind of creepy, but then it's kind of sweet at the same time.
Yeah.
Kind of creepy sweet, if that's a thing.
Creepy
but
sweet.
I'd like to know if they continued having paranormal experiences in the new house. Or if it was just that one thing. Did Fred go with him or did Fred just go check out the house and then he stayed where he was? But if there really is something to that past life thing the medium was talking about, it seems like it's the mom he's connected to. So I would think he would go with mom.
Yeah.
Just my guess. Okay, yep. So we've got another call. Let's give it a listen.
Yep. Thank you so much for listening to my story and for telling all a bunch of other people's stories so that I can listen to those as well. I really enjoy your show. You guys always make me laugh and help me relax when I'm working too many hours at work. I have a story to share. I wrote it down, actually, but then I thought instead of sending it in, I would just record myself reading it since when I listen to other people's stories, I love it when I can hear their voice telling the story. Not that I don't love your voice, Tony, but I think it's fun to hear how they feel about it. So here goes. I will read it off for you guys. My story takes place when I was 11 years old and living in Guildford, England. My family was living in a mock Tudor house that must have been built in the 50s or 60s. The house was large and well taken care of. As a child, I was very sensitive to the energy, not only of people, but of buildings and locations. My mother, very rightly, took us to visit all of the many historic sites, castles, and monuments that are all over the UK. But she would always tell me not to be silly when I didn't want to go down into the dungeons and places where a lot of people had been killed or tortured. Often, I would have to follow the rest of the family, afraid of being lost from the group, into these places, holding in my tears and panic, trying not to feel all the residual suffering and anger. She is not at all sensitive and has since apologized, since I am now older and more articulate and could tell her how I was feeling. I still like to give her a hard time and tell her that she scarred me for life, but it's all in good fun. The house we lived in felt full of memories to me, but not anything particularly negative. We had only lived there for about a month and a half. My sister and I shared the master ensuite bedroom in the front of the house. My sister was 7 at the time, and as I said, I was 11. I slept on the bottom of our 2 bunk beds. I have ADD and have never found it easy to fall asleep, especially in that room. The light at night in that room was almost non-existent. It was very, very dark and had almost a heavy energy. I remember one night lying in bed looking at the crack of light showing from my parents' room as they got ready for bed, shining under my door. I dreaded the moment they would turn it off and I would be left listening to the quiet, settling noises of the house. The light did go off and I just lay there staring at the door. I must have drifted off to sleep, but I was woken by this strong feeling of something else awake in the room with me. I could hear my sister breathing, but it wasn't her sleeping presence I could feel. I didn't want to open my eyes, afraid of what I would see, but I couldn't just keep them closed and not know what was in the room with me. Finally, I could not stand not knowing anymore, so I opened my eyes and looked at the place I could feel someone standing. There was a lady. She was shadowy, but I could still see her in the dark. More than even seeing the details, that she was wearing a bathrobe and was clasping and unclasping her hands in front of her, I could feel her worry and sadness. She was looking at something that I couldn't see, focusing all her grief and worry on that one thing. She stood there, just filling the space around her with her anxiety and despair. I was too scared to do anything. I knew she should not be there, but I didn't know what to do. I wanted to get out of my room, but I knew I didn't want to go toward her, and she was between me and the door. She stayed there for a long time, and then slowly she turned to go. Before she reached the door, she disappeared. My heart was pounding, and I didn't sleep that night until it started to get light out at about 5 in the morning. A few nights later, she came back. Almost exactly the same thing happened. I was asleep, and her sadness would wake me. I would watch her, not moving, until she left. My sister would always kept sleeping right through this, and I knew I couldn't tell anyone. My mother didn't take lying lightly, and I knew she would think I was crazy or making it up. I had quite the reputation for always telling the truth in my family at this time, and I hated to throw that away since that meant I could get away with lies every once in a while. Well-calculated lies. Anyway, this kept happening for weeks, and it was always the same way. Every few nights, I would be woken by this lady. I brought a desk lamp into my room, and I would leave it on at night. And when I did that, I couldn't see her anymore, but I could still feel her sadness and worry come into my room. My fear of her never went away. I thought of trying to talk to her, but when I would try, I couldn't even whisper. I was always too full of my own fear and the great sorrow that she brought with her. I finally decided that I couldn't keep feeling this afraid all the time, so every night I would face the wall, and if I did wake up and feel her, I would just go back to sleep. Eventually, I either learned to sleep through it, or she stopped coming because she never woke me at night again. I would sometimes feel her if I'd come back to my room after it had been empty for a long time. If we'd been doing things in the other parts of the house, as I came through my door, a sort of wave of worry and despair would sort of wash over me until I sort of could fill the space with my own presence again. So, that's my story. I've got some other ones to share at some point, but right now, that's it. And thank you so much for listening. So thanks, guys, so much. I really love the show. And keep being awesome. Bye.
Oh, you keep being awesome. That was creepy. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, it's very creepy. And I do have a bunk bed bill, so I'm going to ring that.
Okay. Oh, ring it again.
Sorry, that was loud, but
no,
still.
No, it didn't come through.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I can't hear it. I can see you doing it, though. It's so weird. Like, we should be able to hear it. Let me turn this up all the way. Okay, now put it up there. Having something wake you up because of the sadness. Like, the sadness in her presence is what's waking you up.
Yeah, that's very creepy.
And then it just got to the point, it's like, I just can't with her.
Just leave.
I just can't. I'm rolling over the other way. I'm turning the light on. I can't see you when the light's on. And I'm done. Because
bye.
It's like, how long can this go on? And what is it that you want? Like, I get it. You're sad. You've got to tell me more. And I'm a kid. What else can I do? I remember one time I was at a hotel with my sister, my oldest sister, and I woke up in the middle of the night. It was the weirdest feeling because I woke up because someone was standing by my bed. That's what it felt like. And I knew 100% if I opened my eyes, I would see him. It was definitely a guy, and I could just tell that he was standing at the foot of my bed. And I'm like, and my sister, she snores. And so she is sound asleep. And I'm like, just wake up. Because I wanted her to wake up because I didn't want to open my eyes and see it. And I did the same thing. I think I laid there until the sun came up. And then I was finally able to open my eyes. It's creepy. It's just that feeling of there's something there.
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't know. I don't like that. But I think she did the right thing because I don't think it was ever going to go away. So,
unless you just made it go away,
which is basically what she did. She's like, I'm rolling over, turning some lights on. Goodbye. So if you have a real ghost story, we want to hear it. Call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want an ad-free version of the show, you get advanced episodes and access to the archive. Become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts. Try it 3 days free. You can go through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Out at McDonald's, te puedes llevar un $5 McChicken meal deal o un $6 McDouble meal deal. Así, hay algo para todos. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.